I would say, like a lot of things in life, it comes back to having your why, your purpose really calibrated. Once you have that dialed in, it almost doesn't matter what you do from there. You know, of course it does, but if you don't have that fundamental idea of what is your why, what is your purpose, and if your team, those around you, are not bought into that, it's really hard to do much from there. And I've just found a lot of times in our personal life or in our professional life, we just don't think about our why as much as we probably should. And I'm guilty of that too, but I really think that is the core to really anything, but even in the L&D space. I think it's easy to start with the what and the how. And, you know, Simon Sinek talks about this idea. You know, of course, at Chick-fil-A, the what is a great tasting chicken sandwich, right? And the how is remarkable customer service. And I think a lot of companies kind of stop at those two things, because you can build a great company and a great product with just those two things, but I don't think it is sustainable without that driving force of the why behind it. And it requires a lot of deep thinking.
Welcome back to Learning Matters. I'm Doug Wooldridge, your host, and today I'm very excited to be speaking with our guest. He's a keynote speaker, leadership coach, and workshop facilitator. He has over 15 years of leadership experience, including roles at Macy's and Target. He has been a speaker at conferences and events, including Industry Now's Workforce Management Summit, Opal Group's HR Leadership Summit, the Millennium Alliance, and many, many, many more. He is grounded in the belief, which we'll get into shortly, that my pleasure isn't just a catchphrase, it's a moral obligation. And he's executive director of people and culture at Chick-fil-A. Nick Lawrence, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Doug. So great to be here.
It's my pleasure, and I do mean that. As always, we're here to tackle the big questions and major innovations in the world of L&D. I'd like to start off with this first, Nick. What strategy do you think matters most in learning and development today?
You know, I've thought about that a lot. And I would say, like a lot of things in life, it comes back to having your why, your purpose really calibrated. And once you have that dialed in, it almost doesn't matter what you do from there. You know, of course it does, but if you don't have that fundamental idea of what is your why, what is your purpose, and if your team, those around you, are not bought into that, it's really hard to do much from there. And I've just found a lot of times in our personal life or in our professional life, we just don't think about our why as much as we probably should. And I'm guilty of that too. But I really think that is the core to really anything, but even in the L&D space.
How do you go about finding that why? And what, maybe let's back it up just a little bit. What do you think might be the challenges to finding that why, and why the how and the what can get in the way of that?
Well, I think it's easy to start with the what and the how. And, you know, Simon Sinek talks about this idea. So, and, you know, of course, at Chick-fil-A, the what is a great tasting chicken sandwich, right? And the how is remarkable customer service. And I think a lot of companies kind of stop at those two things, because you can build a great company and a great product with just those two things. But I don't think it is sustainable without that driving force of the why behind it. And it requires a lot of deep thinking, some nuance to it. And oftentimes when I ask my clients, what's your why? What's your purpose? They can't articulate it. And eventually they show me their like core values on the wall and tell me about the history of their company, which is always very fascinating. But I say those are just buzzwords and all worthy and honorable things to be chasing after. But that doesn't explain to me your why. And so we'll often spend quite a bit of time just digging into that. And it's good in your personal life too, right? Like life is short, and it's easy to get on autopilot in the rhythm of email and checklists and you know, kids and sports and all that kind of stuff that people have going on. So that's where I would start, and a big place to start, obviously, but that's where I would start with a lot of projects.
Yeah, I feel like it can be a little scary too to try to figure out the why, because it can be a little bit more introspective, a little bit more philosophical, and not necessarily based more on the numbers type of thing. So how are you able to walk folks and your clients through that progress or that stream of consciousness to get from the starting point to the why, without getting hung up in too much of the potential like introspective side of things.
Yeah. And I think it's okay if that, you know, some of that deeper thinking comes into play or philosophical discussions, but it's just some of those simple questions of what gets you out of bed every morning, you know, what's your driving purpose? If your business didn't make money, what parts of the business would you still do? You know, what would you give away for free? What do your customers love about you? What do you want them to say in 5-star reviews? And what's the driving force beneath everything? What's fueling that fire? And it can take a lot of just silent thinking to figure that out. So that's where I start, and it's always very fascinating conversations. But I do think, because once you have that calibrated, during times of prosperity, it can make you very grateful and humble. And during times of adversity and challenge, it can keep you going and keep you in the fight. And again, I think that's true in our personal life too, but it's definitely true in business.
And how did you come to this mindset? Was there like an aha moment that led you here? Is this something that you've been working on over several years?
Well, I've been with Chick-fil-A for 5 years. And before that, I spent 11 years in big box retail working for Macy's and Target. But I was always fascinated by Chick-fil-A and their people, their customer service. And I wanted to know how they did it. And once I got on the inside, I just started, you know, trying to figure out that question. How was Chick-fil-A doing this? And, you know, at first I thought, well, it looks like there's really good training programs, and which is true. But I thought, well, a lot of people have good training programs. And eventually I thought, oh, I think, you know, and I just represent a local franchise group, but I would say this is likely true for most Chick-fil-A franchises, but definitely our franchise group, is that our why, our purpose drives all of those other things. And it the way that plays out, or how does that work practically, right, is oftentimes we're operating from a place of conviction, not compliance. You know, it's like, what do you do when your boss isn't around, right? That type of thing. So in the way I stumbled upon this was that as I started giving keynotes, I was just talking about the what in the how. And I thought, well, there's gotta be something different, right? Because a lot of people are doing something similar across all industries. And then I kind of remembered, oh, our corporate purpose and our mission statement, and it, just that fuel to the fire. And then, you know, I stumbled upon Simon Sinek's video, and, you know, of course he thought of this, you know, 15 years before I did. But again, the concept is relatively simple, but like most things, putting it into practice, it becomes very difficult.
And your organization, how are you demonstrating the ROI of learning to your stakeholders? And kind of on the opposite side of that, how are you really getting buy-in and retention from your learners that are taking the training?
Well, and again, I'm speaking on behalf of our local franchise group, but, you know, we get, like most companies, we have so much data, you know, and we can get analysis paralysis pretty easily. So we're able to take data from our guests, our customer, whether it's satisfaction surveys or feedback we get in the restaurant, and show that to our internal stakeholders. You know, here's the results of these training programs or learning programs and the effect it has on sales, profit, guest experience. And when you see the data, it's hard to argue with it. I would say, so I think that's one way, is what's the end result for your client, which in our case is our customer, our guests that dine with us every 6 days a week, right? So I think that's really the case. And sometimes I think it can be easy, you know, if behind the scenes in a strategy meeting, you know, you make a decision, you go with a vendor, and then you're kind of trying to talk yourself or talk your team into it. And so I would start with the end in mind, which for us is our guests that again is dining with us. So I think that is the critical component, at least a great starting place.
Yeah. And what top trends are you most excited about in our industry right now?
Yeah, of course, you know, AI is the big buzzword. I do think technology continues to play a critical role. But we're trying to be very careful about how we balance that in a very people heavy, you know, service intensive, you know, setup like we have at our Chick-fil-A franchise group. And then I do see, you know, and this started to really ramp up after the pandemic, and I see a trend, which is great to see, in this leadership development or just emotional intelligence development in their people. And you know, I think as we continue to fight for talent, the talent pool is shrinking. As we continue to fight for talent, especially this younger generation, you know, the data shows that compensation alone is not the primary driver. You know, they want their bucket, their purpose to be filled up at work, which makes total sense, right? We, you know, I spend most of my waking hours at work. So, you know, it would make sense that that I'm learning and growing and getting fulfillment for it. So I do think there's a trend there and the companies that are focused on those things, I do think, well, we'll win the day with the labor market.
Well, and I think that's where what you're talking about earlier, where the personal side of the why comes in. You know, why are we sticking with this corporation? Why are we continuing with our potential ladder rung grabs in this corporation? What does it make us feel when we go into the office or go into the restaurant? And I think that's something that we should all really take into account, that the younger generation definitely has really locked down a little bit more so than the older generations. But I think the rest of us are catching up.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there a new project or initiative that y'all are working on that you're most excited about this year?
For me personally, in January, I launched what I call Lawrence Leadership, that my kind of formal coaching and development and consulting side of things. And really that was born out of my own curiosity about Chick-fil-A and leadership development and great customer service. And after being with Chick-fil-A for 5 years, I've had enough people say, hey, we'd love to learn from what you've learned, not only Chick-fil-A, but just my past big box retail experience. And I finally thought, you know what, I think there could be something here where I could help more people. So again, I launched that in January, and that's been really good. And people will say, are you looking to leave Chick-fil-A? I'm not. This is kind of a passion project on the side. So I'm kind of selective. I, you know, I only take a few, two or three clients a month that I feel like I can. That's what I do on Sundays. You know, I can spend time working on that.
A very exciting endeavor, and it can be scary, but I imagine it's incredibly fulfilling at the same time.
Most of the folks I work with are actually outside of the restaurant industry, which I find fascinating.
Ooh,
and
cool. Yeah.
At the end of the day,
keeps you on your toes.
You know, at the end of the day, oh, go ahead.
Keeps you on your toes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it does keep me on my toes. And regardless of industry, people are trying to figure out how do they take care of their people, how do they take care of their customer. And I think I've learned a thing or two over the last 16 years about how to do that. And it's fun to get to share that with people.
Do you find that certain industries have similar issues getting to that why? Or is it just kind of across the board where everybody needs just a little bit of a push and a little bit of time to reflect truly on that why?
Yeah, I think most industries just need a push or need a reminder or need really what they need is space and time to think about it. You know, they, you know, to just slow down and do that. I do find industries like healthcare where it's literally life or death. You know, they tend to they tend to come to the conclusion a little bit quicker on the why. But by and large, you know, regardless of industry, people just need to carve out some time and maybe have a little bit of facilitation to help them get to their why.
Definitely. Let's go back a little bit to some AI talk. How are y'all utilizing AI in your organization? And if you are, how did you drive adoption towards that?
You know, I think certainly some administrative support, you know, whether it's some job descriptions or training manuals or handbooks. And, you know, you got to be careful and edit and audit all of that and certainly be careful about sensitive company data. But I think, you know, as we fight for time, our most limited resource, you know, whether for example, we recently did a book study and we thought we don't really have, you know, 2 months to read this entire book. But what if we came up with a really nice executive summary and discussion? So I don't always recommend, you know, shortcutting, you know, reading. There's a lot of value to that. But for what we were doing and what we needed to get out of it, you know, we were able to condense down what probably would have taken 2 months, you know, and we weren't doing that all day for 2 months. We were able to condense that down and have a really great discussion. And then most importantly, some action plans that could come away with it. So I think at this point we're using it as, you know, some administrative support, kind of a brainstorming partner. But I would say, you know, we're trying to be cautious about having it not disrupt the hands-on human experience you get from a customer service standpoint. And that's a delicate balance, I would say. So those are a few ways we've been using it on our end.
I want to go back to your belief and your thoughts on My Pleasure. It's something that we talked about when we were doing our prep for this podcast that I thought was incredibly interesting. And I believe what you said is that My Pleasure isn't just a catchphrase. It's a moral obligation. So can you expand upon that just a little bit for our audience?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of my kind of favorite, you know, ways to explain the answer to the question of how does Chick-fil-A do what they do? And what I've learned over the last 5 years supporting my local franchise group, if I can narrow it down into one sentence, it's that sentence that My Pleasure is not a catchphrase, it's a moral obligation. And really that was that intersection of what's our why, what's our purpose. And because the kind of one of the jokes I use in my keynote speeches is, if all of your team started saying My Pleasure overnight, would it get you the results you want? And the answer is probably not. And so to me, that indicates that when we say My Pleasure, there's something much deeper behind that. And we even use that internally. For example, if my boss were to call me and say, hey, can you get this deliverable to me by the end of the day? Oh, yeah, of course, I'll be right on it. And he says, thanks, Nick. I would say My Pleasure, you know, enthusiastically, sincerely, or if we're texting, probably just MP, you know, we'll say MP for My Pleasure. So it's this driving force of gratitude and stewardship. And, you know, another example I give is if I'm out on a walk with my family and I see that someone's discarded Chick-fil-A cups or bags, I'll pick it up and put it in my pocket or put it in the bottom of the stroller. And, you know, I just can't stand to see the brand kind of discarded in that way. And at first my wife was like, what, you know, you won't even pick up your socks at home, but, you know, you're picking up this rubbish. So, you know, I think that one sentence really does capture some of that magical question I had for 11 years. How does Chick-fil-A do what they do? And, there's just this much deeper meaning or intensity behind that magical phrase of My Pleasure.
I think that's incredible. I really it touches the human part of what makes the service industry such a special industry, in that you know, kind of similar to the healthcare industry, the client, the purpose is the person experiencing either the food or just the ability to take your family out and get a incredibly affordable meal altogether and have an experience. And at the end of the day, not only are you full, you also feel fulfilled and you're like, oh, this is why we keep coming back. So I think that's incredible. I'd like to kind of switch things a little bit to hear more about you, Nick. Where do you come from? Take me back to little Nick days. How did you end up here as the executive director of people and culture at Chick-fil-A?
I'm from Northern Indiana originally, and didn't move too far south. I'm based out of Indianapolis now, but stayed local. Went to Indiana University, got a business degree from their Fort Wayne campus, and I really just wasn't sure what I wanted to do in life. So worked at Macy's during my undergrad, selling shirts and ties. After graduation, went on to work for Target. Two great companies, by the way, learned a lot there. Had some really phenomenal mentors at Macy's that presented an opportunity for me to come back and rejoin their organization.
That's the thing. If you find a color that looks good on you, you got to go with it. It's a lifelong commitment.
Even though I don't know what I want to do necessarily or what the future holds, because none of us do, I knew that if I did a really good job in my current role, it would open doors in the future and never burn bridges. That's kind of another thing that I learned. And just to genuinely be curious about other people. I think Zig Ziglar, I'm going to give him credit. I think he said, you can get anywhere you want to go in life if you help enough people get where they want to go. And I think that kind of mantra has really, yeah, stuck with me. And it's totally true. And it took me a while to fully embrace that, because I think, especially when you're younger, you're kind of trying to figure out who you are and you know, use your gifts to, you know, advance the corporate ladder, fill your bank account or get a bigger house or whatever. But it's actually much more fulfilling and rewarding to help other people, you know, get where they want to go. And in turn, they kind of know people who can help you or they themselves can help you. And I've seen that play out just in scenarios with people I know.
If you could go back in time and have a discussion with yourself, let's say 22 or so, what advice would you need to hear at that point so that you feel comfortable taking the dive into a career?
Yeah, I would say that for me, one of the biggest lessons I continue to learn is that sometimes the cost of winning is so great that you actually lose in the end. You know, the map isn't there in your favor, or it's often stated, you know, you won the battle, but you lost the war, that kind of thing. And or just because I can win an argument doesn't mean I need to. And as I've gotten older and more mature in my leadership journey, you know, I've just been able to weigh out, you know, when, why am I fighting for this? And is it worth it? And I just didn't know that when I was younger, right? I heard someone say that wisdom is the thing we gained right after we needed it. So, you know, as you make mistakes in life, you know, you gain a bit of wisdom over time. And so I think that's the advice I would probably give myself in my mid-20s.
There you go. Well, thank you for that incredible insight. Before I get you out of here today, where can people connect with you?
Yeah, I tend to be fairly active on LinkedIn, so that's the best place. I think I'm under Nicholas Lawrence on LinkedIn. Send me a message. Would love to chat with them. And if they're in Indianapolis, lunch is on me.
Oh, all right. Well, we will put that link in the description. And you know what? I'm hoping that some of our audience is going to keep those feet to the fire to make sure that promise is fulfilled. And thank you so much for this incredible conversation, Nick. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Hey, it has been my pleasure.
There you go. And thank you, listeners. If you learned something today or had a laugh, tell somebody about the show. And this has been another episode of Learning Matters. As always, like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and do not hesitate to reach out to us here at TTC Innovations for any and all of your training needs. See you next time.